I had a lot of time to think as I was driving Sunday morning and put together some stuff, not only for Bemidji, but for here. And last week I heard a preacher say that he was at a conference, and the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, if I can get a city in the United States to be totally transformed, that would be the catalyst for many other cities to be transformed. And so he was talking to another pastor, and as he was going up and probably preach, a lady came up to him and said, Pastor, I think I have a word from God. And he said, what was that? And she said, I think the Holy Spirit told me that if we could get a city in America totally transformed by the Spirit of God, that would be the catalyst for many other cities being transformed. Remember, by the mouth of two or three witnesses. And so when I heard that, my first thought was Sisseton, but we're not a major city. But why not be a catalyst? Why not see some things happen in our community that drastically changes the world? Mm-hmm. America, the state. But the thing of it is, we need to understand that we are a counterculture. We're not blending into the culture of America. We're blending into the culture of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And until we realize how valuable and how important we are and how significant it is when we start walking this life out according to the Word of God, we'll be always waiting for something to happen. Somebody told me a long time ago, there's three kinds of people in the world. There's people who make things happen, there's people who watch things happen, and then there's people asking, what's happening? Where are we this morning? We can have church until the proverbial cows come home and never see a change if something doesn't change within us. We can look at everybody else. Well, pastor should bring a revival, or the worship team should bring a revival, or this one should change and be transformed, or that one should bring it. Well, what about us? And so I was thinking, I know people tell me, don't think, pastor, it hurts, but I was thinking as I just stayed on the boat for a couple days with very little fishing and got the Word of God out and started reading and started just thinking about what is really valuable, what is really important. It's not the bottom line of your portfolio. It's what's in here in your life. And one day I just started reading in Colossians and come across this, and I just want to share my heart. You may say, this is so simple, you've talked about it before. I just want to share where I'm at. And the Bible says in Colossians 3:12, and I pray that you bring your Bible. I know it's up there, but it doesn't hurt to carry one. Therefore, as the elect of God, in verse 12, holy and beloved. Okay, we need to start there. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, and that word holy means that you're set apart. We are not of this world. This world is not our home. We're passing through. We're a people that's a pattern of God's grace and mercy and love that's exhibited to people around us. You may say, well, I own so much. No, you don't. If you own something, it's permanently yours. Someday you're going to leave that to somebody if the Lord doesn't come back. And even if he comes back, it's going to be destroyed. Mm-hmm. Take ownership of that which you can take with you. Take ownership of the eternal. Yeah, I understand. I read a while back about a farmer who, pastor came out and looked at his land and he said, man, what a wonderful farm God has here. And the man looked back at him and said, yeah, but you should have seen it when God had it by himself. You say, what are you talking about? That farmer put a lot of time in that land. It was nice. But in all essence, it's not something you're taking with you. I used to say you never see a hearse with a U-Haul, but I picked up the paper, somebody sent me a copy of it, and there was a hearse with a U-Haul going to a cemetery. So I can't say that no more. But we're set apart by God, and you are bigger, and you are more important, and you are more valuable than some title you have, or some job that you have, or some education that you have. You're more valuable than that. Because we're set apart for God, and we're set apart for God's purpose. Can we take that this morning? Can we understand? You know, my devotions are in Luke as I'm reading through the New Testament again. And I read the other morning that life doesn't consist of the abundance of things you possess. Life doesn't consist of what you think you own. Life consists of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And our walk in the Holy Spirit and our giving away of what God has blessed us with. That's Jesus. Holy and beloved, put on tender mercies or compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and long-suffering. Have compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and long-suffering. What does that really point you to? What scripture would that point you to if you were just reading that? Okay, somebody turn to Galatians 5:22. Galatians 5:22. How many believe the Holy Spirit lives within you?
Amen.
Okay, then you're going to love this. Because the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. So as we read Paul in Colossians 3:12, telling us to put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, he's actually telling us, make sure you walk in the fruit of the Spirit. How many of you get upset about things that really don't matter? Look at me. Come on. How many of you are frustrated over things that you can't ever have a chance of changing? I mean, it's absolutely amazing. We go through all kinds of stuff. And God has prepared us for everything you're going through. You have the fruit of the Spirit that is absolutely controlling your life as you let Him. And the response is, I'm going to kill him and let God tell God I found him that way. That's not it. The response is, I don't care what you do to me. I don't care what you say to me. You know, if you don't like me, you got bad taste.
That's right.
You know, it doesn't matter that you don't accept how I live and what I'm saying. I'm not here to please you.
That's right, amen.
Can we honestly come to a place where we realize that to live by the Word of God, to walk in the fruit of the Spirit, to live a life that's loving, is pleasing God instead of trying to please someone else? You know, it's like trying to keep up with the Joneses. You know, your neighbor across the street buys a new car, new tractor, new this, new that. And so you go out and buy the same, and by the time you do that, they refinance, start over. So we come to a place where God is saying, hey, you are the ones, along with a few other churches in this town, that are representing me. Now, represent me according to God's word. Represent me as I represented myself when I walked on this earth. You know, we're not going to change the world by protests. You're not going to change the world by carrying a sign, all you sinners are going to hell. They already know it. Even if they say they don't believe in it. So what are we going to do? We're going to love them. How about the person sitting next to you? Humility? Just love them. Just allow God to work in our lives to the extent that the relationship we have with God has changed us so much that even if they don't like us, they must respect us. Am I preaching to the choir, or are we okay? You know, attacking people, doing this and doing that and doing something else is not the answer. It's loving. It's tender. It's compassion. Man, my heart went out to a family whose son was killed. Man, that's tough. But yet we love them. And we honor them. And we value them. I know what it feels like, because many of you know, my mom and dad were killed in a car accident. So when that happens, you kind of go through stuff again. Tender mercies, compassion. Go back to Colossians chapter 3. I'm just going to take this verse by verse this morning because I believe what we have here is so valuable. Bearing with one another. Bearing with one another and forgiving one another. Do you have a hard time putting up with people at times? I know you don't. You're just too great. Do you know something? If everybody was like you, you wouldn't be necessary. Kind of amazing. I'm sitting on the boat looking at this and thinking, I got five other guys here, and they look at me like I'm the old guy. Well, I was the old guy, but they put up with me. You know, I don't jump off the boat anymore and jump into another boat. I kind of take my time and balance myself. And one of the guys said, well, I can do this, and down he went almost in the lake. But bearing with one another. How about in church? What if somebody has a different philosophy than we do? You know, we can put up with a lot of things as long as they agree with us. Can't we? Wow. You know, it's amazing, but God says, bearing with one another. The Bible says carrying one another's burdens. But I just don't agree with that person. How can I carry their burden? You do it because Jesus would. We do it because Jesus would. And we come to a place where it builds in us. And if they're without Christ, and if they have this issue, if that issue, if that issue, compassion and love covers a multitude of sins, the Bible says. Until the world sees a church, a body of believers, a group of people, or even one person as a light shining in the darkness that is really sold out to God, that isn't quick to condemn and criticize and tear down, they just think it's another religion. They just think it's another religion. And so we come to a place that we are walking in the humility and the kindness and the goodness and the attitude and the character of Jesus Christ. I'm not looking to shoot holes in someone. I'm looking to see people bow before Jesus Christ and say, because of a group of people and because of a church of people, I follow Jesus. And as they see that in you, they will recognize that Jesus is real. And we can, as we can unite around that. The Bible says that they'll know Jesus came from the Father by our unity. What's our unity? Our unity is loving as God did. Amen. Our unity is ministering and caring and walking in that humility as Jesus did. You say, well, I can't do it. Yes, you can. Only through the Holy Spirit. Only through the Holy Spirit. Okay. How about this one? How many of us are sitting here with an offense this morning? You say, what is that? That means you just haven't forgiven somebody. The Bible says this, forgiving one another if anyone has a complaint against another. The Bible says in Matthew 24, in the last days, many will be offended. What does that mean? How many trappers we got here? Anybody trap? Anybody have those steel traps besides Ben? But they got those steel traps, and in the trap, when you open them up, the trigger is that thing you put the bait on. And the word offense talks about the trigger of that trap. When you are offended, you're taking it and that's catching you. Now I want to say something, and please take this the right way. If somebody does something to somebody else, that's not your offense. Okay? Don't take it. There's a lot of offended people who weren't offended. Mm-hmm. And so the Bible says forgiving as God forgave. I was coming back from a football game a while back, reffing. And this guy was just spewing out stuff about somebody in town. And I said, okay. Were you in church Sunday? Yeah. I said, did you say the Lord's Prayer? He said, yeah. I said, well, tell me it. Well, you know it. I said, well, you tell me it. And he went, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Does that work, sir? How many of you have been nailed on the cross, and while you're hanging on that cross, you're saying, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. That's right. Somebody said, and you'd know it because you probably read it in a book, that unforgiveness is like drinking poison and hoping the person you're mad at dies. It doesn't work. Unforgiveness will block the work of the Spirit in our life quicker than anything.
Amen.
Many of you I've told this story to on Wednesday nights. I was preaching in Napa, Idaho. During that service, the Lord just says, "I don't want you to preach." And I thought, I got a good message. It's not that bad. Pretty good for me. And he says, "Here's what I want you to do." And he started giving me words of knowledge. The first one was, there's a lady here, and you're really deciding to kill yourself, but you're a coward and you won't do it. Lady comes forward, and we have prayer, and the pastor comes up to me after church and says, "That woman's mad at me." "At you, Pastor?" "Yeah. Because she told me those exact words before church, and she thinks I told you." Never told me a word. Second one was about a young gal named Charity. As I'm talking, the Lord said, "There's a young lady going to be enticed into homosexuality or lesbianism, and I want to set her free." I still have a card from Charity that, and she came forward, we prayed with her, and she wrote me a nice card and mailed it to me of how she's free. We're in a prayer line. I prayed for people for 2 hours that night. It was just steady. Fact is, they almost carried me out. When I was done, I was wore out. But there was an 80-year-old lady come forward, and she said, can we just step back from the crowd? And I said, "Yeah." And she told me, "I was raped when I was 18, and you're the first person I told." What came out of my mouth next surprised me, and I said, "Have you forgiven the person that did this to you?" And she said, "No, I can't." I said, "If God gives you the strength to forgive him, will you?" And she said, "Yes." And when she said yes, she was immediately broken and set free. Just by saying, "God, with your help, I'll forgive." Maybe you're here this morning and you haven't been able to forgive, but if you ask God to help you, he will. Carrying grudges, taking offense, eats us up.
That's right. Absolute truth.
And it hinders us from stepping into where we need to be with God, because that blockage is there. God can work around it, but you'll never have the peace that God wants to give you as long as you hold it. Verse 14, he says, "But above all these, put on love, which is the bond of perfection." Put on love, which holds everything together. Look at me for a moment. You are all supernatural. You're supernatural people. The thing about the supernatural is that you need to learn to accept God's supernatural for you. The new birth is supernatural. How many believe that?
Amen.
How many of you can come back and make yourself a new creation? Everything about Christ is supernatural.
Amen.
Everything you go through, the leadership, the words you get, the protection, is supernatural. And so as we look at this, you may say, "Well, I can't love someone. I just can't get it together." Well, that's possibly partially true. It's partially true in yourself, you can't. But in Christ, you can.
Amen.
I can't imagine in my finite, which I want to be infinite mind, of laying on a cross and having someone pound nails in my wrists and my feet and still loving those people. How many of you, if you would have been in the center of the cross, would have looked at the two men on each side and say, you got what you deserved? Because in essence, they did, right? We don't want to talk about that. One is railing on Christ. If you're the Christ, save yourself and us. And the other one said, you don't know what you're talking about. Jesus, when you come into your kingdom, will you remember me? And what did Jesus say? Today you'll be with me in paradise. Amazing. Looking from the cross, he sees his mother and he talks to John about taking care of his mother. How many of you have ever been sick? How many of you have had a pain? How many of you, when you're sick and in pain, are thinking about somebody else? Jesus is hanging there with two nails, you know, arms and feet. A spear goes through his side eventually. But as he's hanging there, he remembers somebody got to take care of my mother. And by the way, I'm taking you to paradise with me. Love is the bond of perfection. I'll tell you something. The most important part of this church is that you can sense the love of Christ as you come. If we fail at that, we fail. We fail. But the main thing is that we love everyone who walks through that door. Verse 15 says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you are also called in one body, and be thankful. Look at me again. How many of you are allowing things of the world to distract from the peace of God? How many of us get caught up in concerns and we carry them? They load us down. They weigh us down. They overwhelm us. And God is saying, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, or let the peace of God be the umpire. Let the peace of God throw out the things that shouldn't be there. And it's amazing what God's peace does. Don't be worried about anything, but in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your needs be made known unto God, and the peace of God that surpasses all, say all with me, all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Jesus said in John 14:27, my peace I give with you, my peace I leave with you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, and don't let it be afraid. Amazing. How many have solved a problem by worrying about it? Anybody? How many have seen a problem solved by giving it to Jesus? Peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Absence of turmoil. Amazing. Verse 16 says this. Oh, and by the way, be thankful. Not just on November 25th, 24th, 26th, 27th, Thanksgiving Day. Just be thankful. Let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. teaching and admonishing one another. Let the word of God dwell in you richly. Okay, one more time. Look at me. How many of you like when somebody comes and warns you about something? Admonishes you. That means there's a warning, there's a exhortation, there's something they're telling you. I see one shaking his head, yes. Anybody else? There are times people see things. And they come and tell people something and they're kind of told, mind your own business. If you love somebody enough to lay down your life and God gives you a word for them of warning, you'll share it. Or if someone comes to you with a word of warning, you'll listen to it. Sometimes we may get upset. A lot of times it's your wife or husband. Do you know that your wife, gentlemen, has almost perfect insight into what you shouldn't be doing? You say, what are you talking about? The first one we need to listen to besides God is our wives. My wife is very historical. Not hysterical, historical. She's got quite a memory. But there are times we just need to listen. Pay attention. I've prayed many times and I just felt God say, don't do that. Don't go there. Don't say that. And you know when you run through a stop sign, what happens? You get pinched. You get messed up. Guidelines for Christian living is right here. Guidelines for Christian living. I know that you want to please God. I know that. And I want to please God. But what we need to understand is we don't do it in the flesh. We do it by having our minds transformed by the Spirit. And living a life that is a counterculture to what the world is doing and what God is doing. That's right. It's flowing with what God is doing. We're sharing that. We're living that. People may ask you, why do you do this? Because of God. And I believe best times are ahead of us. I'm not a doom and gloom preacher. I believe a move of God is coming that's not only going to shake this state, but it's going to shake the nation.
Amen.
But you know something? I've been saying too long it's coming. We want to get it here.
Yes.
We've touched the tip of the iceberg, but there's a lot more.
Yes.
And I'm going for it. I'm going for it. I pray that in your heart you will just say, bring it on, God. Whatever the cost, bring it on.